6:50 now, and one of the issues that we're now going to have to determine is whether or not President Donald Trump, whether his phone line was tapped, as he this weekend claimed. Brad Moss is an attorney in Washington, D.C., where he represented countless individuals serving within the intelligence community, and he recently said that the entire assertion is preposterous. Brad, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks. Happy to join.
Hey, what is it about what he's saying that sounds preposterous to you?
Sure. So the claim that he made Saturday morning was that his phones were tapped, and he suggested there was some illegality to it. And the problem he had with the assertion is, one, there's no basis by which a president, any president, can just order up a wiretap of a U.S. citizen. It has to go through a court process. Justice Department handles it, and it goes before a federal judge. Now, we don't know under what process it would have gone here, but the allegations, all these media reports that we've been hearing about, is that there was a warrant issued through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, you know, which is the body of sitting federal judges that authorizes warrants in the pursuit of collection of information pertaining to agents of a foreign power or foreign intelligence information. But even there, it's still going through a court process.
The FISA court. Although, look, Edward Snowden said, look, the whole thing was almost irrelevant. I mean, his assertion was these NSA people, they were just doing whatever they wanted to, essentially. Do you believe that might actually be how could have happened in this case?
No, and Edward Snowden said a lot of things that were somewhat off base. He had some legitimate points in terms of certain processes needing to be reformed, and I'm glad he did that part. But by and large, a lot of his hyperbolic claims were completely off the mark and reflected his lack of understanding of the legal nuance. Okay. So now, to be very clear, to get a FISA warrant, a full-blown warrant to have authorized surveillance on you or me or any other U.S. citizen, you have to demonstrate to the FISA judge that there's a probable cause to conclude that you are an agent of a foreign power.
Right.
Needless to say, that's a pretty high burden to meet.
Okay, but he was saying that data is being collected on all of us all the time. And what would keep, and basically the feds, the FBI, NSA, everyone has access secretly to this data. Do you believe that aspect of it?
No. And here's the problem again. So there's about 4 million people who have security clearances. Having a clearance in and of itself doesn't mean that you can access one particular database and see anything and everything within your clearance level. It's all compartmentalized. I may have, you know, a secret security clearance for top secret information, but I can only access certain programs within certain offices. It's all compartmentalized to avoid everybody being able to access it. So the particular issue here being just because someone may have claimed they could see it doesn't mean they actually can.
Okay, because so the assertion is there was some kind of communication between Trump Tower and these foreign banks. The fact that we're talking about foreign entities there, that would have to go through the FISA court? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the assumption has been a lack of clarity back and forth on which particular warrant would have been issued. Okay. But the assumption, because this has to do with money, because you always follow the money, is that this dealt with the financial records. So it would have gone through what's called Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act. And the DOJ would have gone to the FISA court and said, we have a pending counterintelligence investigation into these two Russian banks.
But we wouldn't know about this, right? This would all be essentially secretive.
Correct. It's all classified. But if you think about it, it's the same kind of thing. If the police wanted to execute a search warrant against you or me, you and I wouldn't know about it in the beginning when they first got it. The police would go to the judge. Mm-hmm. The judge would authorize a search warrant. We wouldn't learn about it until our products or our home was actually searched. Here, the search warrant, the FISA warrant, is for data on financial transactions. Right. If it's used in a criminal proceeding, the people whose information has been collected will be notified and have the right to challenge it. That's built into the statute.
Why should we trust that they're actually following all these rules, considering all the secretiveness involved here?
Well, there's an element that there's always going to be that element of, do you trust the basic aspects, the basic elements of your government? You know,
what makes you trust them? I mean, because you've dealt with whistleblowers specifically in the intelligence community. Why do you trust this community?
Because by and large, the majority of the work we're discussing is handled by rank and file civil servants who don't really particularly have a political affiliation or ideology one way or the other. They just do their job day in and day out. They see a particular concern. They have a concern about potential money laundering, whatever it was, tied to the Russian bank. They want to address it. They want to see if there's a problem there. They go through the proper processes. And to an extent, at some point, you have to have some measure of good faith and trust that the people who are doing the basic structure and elements of your government are doing it properly and are doing it in good faith. If you have specific evidence to distrust it, that's always fine. That's a proper accountability and oversight. But to just always assume that there's automatically corruption, that's just going to drive you nuts.
But even though Edward Snowden maybe overstated it, some of the information he put out, didn't that break some of the trust you had?
Sure, absolutely. And that was also why we had subsequent reforms. We had the USA Freedom Act. We had the creation of what is a special advocate that the FISA court can bring in to provide an alternative voice in those proceedings and deciding whether or not to grant a FISA warrant. We had some increase in the interest of Congress, which had kind of slacked off for a long time, into overseeing what was actually going on in these applications of the FISA court, into actually taking action to try to get some of the orders declassified. So, yeah, I mean, look, I long said, are there some good parts of what Edward Snowden did? Yes. By and large, I think he completely blew it, and I think he broke a lot of laws, and if he ever comes back, he'd go to jail. But my faith in the government in and of itself was not shattered. It was bent, but never broken.
So just to be clear, is the government right now collecting massive data on essentially all of us and all the things we're doing? Is that happening? Is the NSA doing that?
Yes and no. Is it sitting in a database somewhere? Yes. Is the government ever really going to care about what you or I said on this phone call? No.
But wouldn't they care about what something Donald Trump might say on a phone call?
They could, but here it comes again. You'd have to have an analyst either A, break the law and knowingly look at something he's not supposed to look at, or B, you'd have to get specific authorization, probably a court order from the FISA court, to look at that. Otherwise,
but who would call that analyst out if he's doing this in a room somewhere that who knows where, under secret, under some kind of special privilege? How do we even know who's breaking what law?
Because every single thing you do on a government system is monitored in and of itself. The government, the watchers watch the watched. Mm-hmm. The government analysts are watched by someone above them, and someone above them watches their internet access and watches what they do on their systems. Everything gets monitored. Is it perfect? Is it foolproof? Of course not. There never will be a way to do that. Mm-hmm. You have to build it in as many layers of redundancies and oversight as you can, and then there becomes an element in which you just have to trust people will be decent people in the end.
Hey, what does this do when you've got someone like President Trump coming out, our president, and saying this? What does it do to the public trust as a whole then?
Well, I think it's rather dangerous where he went with this. I mean, look, I don't know for certain where he got it in his head that he was tapped. Presumably it's coming from this Breitbart News article that came out that was summarizing the allegations. He's the president, though. He could demand access to this tomorrow. He could go and hold a press conference at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, declassify the order, and say, here, I've got it in my hand. I can give it to everybody. Here's the order of how they tap my phones. But he's not going to do that. And the reason why is because he has no idea if there's actually any evidence. He's just spouting off. And it's rather dangerous to have a president of any party, put basic trust in government like that on the line based off your own personal guts.
Okay, you're saying he has the power, though, to pull up any order he wants, a FISA court order, essentially?
The President of the United States is the commander-in-chief, controls the entire executive branch. Mm-hmm. He controls every piece of classified information. There is nothing he can't access.
But you're saying President Obama did not have the power to say this, to wiretap, let's say, President-elect Trump?
Not on his own, no. Mm-hmm. He would have had to get approval from the FISA court.
And that would have to be documented. Bradley Moss, yeah. Attorney Bradley Moss, joining us from Washington, D.C., a man who's represented countless individuals serving in the intelligence community, also deals with FOIA lawsuits when it comes to the media, helping the media approach the administrations, the Obama and also the Trump administrations. You do it all, Brad. Great to have you on WILS. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Yep, and we're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Good night.